Welcome. It's lovely to see you all. And I presume it would be lovely to see the people on Zoom, but at least you can see us, I'm hoping. Today we remember Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the start of the church. So I ought to wish you all happy birthday. And happy birthday to the church worldwide, in all its different shapes and sizes. Let's start with a prayer. The prayer has a response, which is very simple. It's come, Holy Spirit. So when I say the word come, will you please join in, Holy Spirit? So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe into our prayers your breath of life. Come, Holy Spirit. Fan the flame of love within us and draw us into the life of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Renew us and revive us that in our worship and in our living, we may live a life of love for the praise and glory of God. Amen. Okay, what were the disciples doing when the Spirit came? Sleeping, eating, or what? Praying, okay, and? Possibly not, unless they walked around when they were praying, but you never know. I think they were waiting. Yes, they were praying, they were waiting. We know that they were talking because of some other things that Luke describes. They were waiting and praying and everything else because Jesus had told them to wait. He told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Okay, who likes waiting? Who doesn't like waiting? Right? And who's sort of quite happy to sit there and wait if they have to? Ah, good comment. It depends who you're, it depends what you're waiting for. If you know that something's coming, you can wait with expectation. And the whole thing was that Jesus had told them to wait. And we hear the story of what happened when the Holy Spirit arrived in Acts chapter 2, with all the dramatic events which actually echo things in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And our first song actually talks about some of those and send the fire today. Send the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you will know this, we're hoping. Some of you, welcome to a new song. Brian will play it through and then we will stand if we're able to and sing. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Let's do be seated. That's a Salvation Army one, which may explain some of the language, but it's tremendous. Send the fire. Sometimes we don't get very excited about things, but send the fire today. Anoint us with your power. A prayer of praise and confession. And ask you to join in with this, please, as we pray. I will just lead you in a couple of lines first, and then we will read this. So, O God of all nations and peoples, we praise your name. We rejoice in the many languages that proclaim your word and your wonderful deeds. We give thanks for the movement of your spirit alive in your people, churches, and the world. God of wind and fire, we confess that sometimes we fear your spirit. In those moments when the spirit gushes, pushes, and challenges us toward the unknown, we would often rather cling to comfort and familiar. Forgive our hesitations, Lord God, and renew the ability in us to entrust our lives to you. Move us beyond boundaries of language and nationality into your endless and extravagant love in this world so in need of forgiveness, peace, and healing. Lead us to be the others who offer from fear, offer messages of hope, and practice your infinite grace. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let the winds of forgiveness blow through your soul. Know deep in your bones that God loves you and the world beyond all measure. Rise up into the newness of life that is ours in Christ this day. Amen. As many of you will know, for Jews, the festival of Pentecost took place 50 days after the first day of the Passover festival. So around 7 weeks after Easter, we have Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost, for the Jews, marked a celebration of Israel becoming God's people, and through the giving of the law through Moses. Now, do you remember what happened when God spoke to Moses on the mountain? Was it all peaceful and quiet, or were there noises and things? Okay. Well, it's in Exodus. I will tell you that. It's in 19. But there was smoke, there was earthquakes, there was lightning, thunder, and even a sound of a trumpet. It was a dramatic appearance of God to Moses and the giving of the commandments and the law. There's a sense, if you read it, of people trying to describe the indescribable. Now, I wonder if the disciples at Pentecost had got an inkling that something might happen like that. Jesus told them to wait for the Spirit to come. They waited, and it was Pentecost. And that's the thing they were remembering. So at Pentecost, they knew God was going to appear in a new way, in a special way. The Holy Spirit has been appearing ever since. And we need to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives. So can I invite the music group, please, to come? Pentecost. There we go. And we will stand to sing, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. be seated. Right, come on, Leopold. You've come to help today. Come on, out you come. Oh, hello. What? One person? No, there's more than one person here. Hello. Okay. Right, Leopold. Have you brought the thing to tell the story? Oh, yes, he's got it out there. Oh, great. Pete? Have you got the thing? No. No. What do you mean, no? Not him. Not him. Not that him. Who? Phil. But Pete's got the box up there to play video clips. This is a DIY video. A DIY video? What's one of them?
A DIY video. I've got it.
Okay. You two, what are you up to now? Pictures, and we do the sound. We've got the pictures there, and we do the sound. Leopold?
Yes.
Well, okay, we haven't got much choice. What sounds?
List.
Yeah, you did give me a list, didn't you? Okay. Right, let's check we can do these noises. What noise or action would you do if you're waiting? Yes. Some of you just sitting there. Some of you might twiddle your thumbs, look at your watch, whatever. Okay, so you've got something to do there. What's next? The sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Pretty good. I mean, you might feel the building shake slightly, so you might want to sort of drum a bit with your feet as well. Okay, tongues of fire. What sort of sound would fire make?
Crackle, crackle.
Crackle and a giggle from the sounds of it. Crackle, crackle, or something like that. Now, here's a challenge. Because there's several of you who can speak several languages sitting here. The people heard their own languages spoken. So if you can speak and say the phrase, praise the Lord, but not in English, I will count to three, and I want everybody to say, praise the Lord, and if you can say it not in English, say it not in English, okay? You ready? One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, we got a few languages there. I'd love to have time to go round and find out what languages you were all speaking, because I think it's wonderful. Yeah, I know what you were in. People thought they were drunk. Now, as very good Baptists, I'm stretching the boat out here. What sort of sounds would you make if you were drunk? And I know it's a... You've no idea, Graham. Right, and then the last sound, and I want you to think very much of Nick here. Then we get to the sermon, all right? And Peter starts a sermon by saying the words, Joel says. So can you think how you would say that if you were saying a sermon? One, two, three.
Joel says.
Of course, apathetic sermons going on here. Okay. Right, I think we're sorted. Yippee! Story time!
Ready?
Right, let's see if we've got all the tech going. You're practicing the waiting bit, okay? Not on the screen yet. Oh. The old-fashioned methods are the best, aren't they? Yes. Okay, while they get started.
There we are.
Woo! Okay, that may help some of you. Some of you will be able to see it there. We've got at the bottom sort of a few mountains and the image of the Ascension, which took place 40 days after the first Easter. And at the Ascension, before Jesus was taken up, Jesus told his disciples to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit to come. Ooh. Then what? Then what? Right. Well, then we have disciples going off to Jerusalem. Come on. And days passed, and the disciples were waiting. So let's have the sounds or actions of waiting. Are we there? Oh, you're yawning. You're joining in as well. That's fine. Okay. Then what? Right. So, and then, keep going. They get to the Feast of Pentecost. Ooh. In a house. Yes, they were in a house. And there's some houses. No roof. Well, they have got roofs. They've got flat roofs. They don't have roofs like we have. Oh, okay. Now what? Oh, there's... Slow down. We've got the house looking like it's gone sideways, okay? That's the sound of the blowing wind, which goes... And then you have the tongues of fire. Right? And then you have got the disciples speaking in different languages. And Nick will translate the Greek for us. Where is he? Give you a clue. It all says the same. Right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Praise the Lord.
I only heard English that time. Let me try again. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Praise the Lord.
There was a few other ones there. So the people outside Jerusalem had travelled there for the feast. They'd travelled there for the festival. And there's a whole load of places listed where they came from. And they were a little bit amazed to hear the disciples speaking in their own languages. Ooh. Some thought they were drunk. Well, one or two people can use their imagination. Really? No, they weren't. No, instead, Peter stood up and gave a sermon quoting from the prophet Joel. Bit more enthusiasm. Shall we try again? And
Joel said,
that's a better sermon start. Now, one line in that sermon was the amazing truth that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a quote from Joel. Luke quotes it here in Peter's sermon, and it's quoted in Romans. It may well appear in other places. But isn't it amazing? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we should rejoice in that. You know, whether we've got a small voice, a loud voice, or whatever, God wants to save us, and he wants to save us totally. Completely and utterly. I think it's time for a song, so I think it's time for you to say goodbye and go back in your bag, isn't it? Yes, okay, ta-ra! Right, and can I invite the music group to come back up, please? So we have a song that is Everyone Who Calls on the Name of the Lord. Right, half of that you haven't got to learn a tune because it's spoken. Spoken in rhythm, but it's spoken. So it's very easy. We will repeat the spoken bit several times. Please just join in. And the music group and I will sing the verses. Again, the tune is very simple. Please join in when you picked it up. Okay, let's have some chords. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. 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 Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether tall or short, fat or thin, it means everyone, yes, everyone. Whether loud or quiet or in between, it means everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether rich or poor, young or old, it means everyone, yes, everyone. Whether black or white, shy or bold, it means everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether tall or short, fat or thin, it means everyone, yes, everyone. Whether loud or quiet, or in between, it means everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether rich or poor, young or old, it means everyone, yes, everyone. Whether black or white, shy or bold, it means everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. On that note, or is it that rhythm? Let me just pray for the youngsters as they go out to Sunday social. Let's pray. Father, just thank you that everyone who calls on your name shall be saved. We can cry out to you and know that you hear us and that you love us. Pray that you'd bless the time for the youngsters as they go out to Sunday social. And pray that you'd bless our time in here as we hear more of your word and learn more about your wonderful love and your work in our lives. Amen.
stand and stretch your legs for a minute, please do.
Just sit there and wait. Whether you want to stand and walk around and wait or not.
No, no, let me just do it. If anyone asks you today how long the sermon was, the answer is about 10 metres. Right. It's an old one, that one. In fact, that's old. I can't tell you how long ago it is I drew that, but it's a very long time ago. On the daily service the other week, they gave an analogy of the period between Ascension and Pentecost like a firework display. And I rather like that, the analogy. They said Ascension was like the firework. It was like the rocket going up into the sky. That's Jesus going up into the heavens. And then there's a pause. And then the sky explodes with a myriad of different colours. That's the rocket exploding into thousands of coloured lights. And that's like Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. What a truly fantastic event that first Pentecost was. And there's nothing wrong with hoping or dreaming or praying for a similar thing to happen now. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Desborough, say on Good Friday, when all the local churches gather at the cross? Wouldn't that be a wonderful experience? And it would. There's nothing wrong with longing for mountaintop experiences. I've certainly preached about mountaintop experiences before. But life isn't lived on the mountaintop, is it? It's lived on the plain. So this morning, I want to go beyond the event of the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost to look at life in the first Jerusalem church. And as we were given the whole of Acts chapter 2, it's those last few verses of Acts chapter 2 that we're going to look at this morning.
So the reading is from Acts chapter 2, and it's the last five verses. The title is The Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It started at Pentecost, and it's not unusual on a birthday to reflect on how you were doing. Personally speaking, on my birthday, I think, and I'm sure a lot of you think the same thing, but it's been a quick year. I seem to be getting quicker. And as I approach my 70 years, I reflect that I'm still here, although some parts of me are more here than others. So it's not a bad idea to reflect on the church's birthday on how we are doing. And the answer, we're still here, won't cut it. Rather, we ought to be asking questions like, are we a healthy church? Are we a growing church? Now, the Jerusalem church, which is why I wanted to look at it this morning, was a growing church. We're told that on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people, that's a quarter of the population of Desmond, 3,000 people were baptized. And the chapter ends by saying that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. they were growing fast, faster than could be contained. So from the passage, I'm going to look at four signs of a growing church that come through. And to make it easy to remember on this Pentecost Sunday, they're all going to begin with the letter P. P for Pentecost. And the first P I want to look at is P for participation. Participation. Everybody taking part. Let's just look back to that reading that Laura read a moment ago. And I've highlighted some words. It starts off right at the start with the word they. It's not just the apostles, it's they. The whole group of them. Look a bit further down. Everyone was filled with awe. And then on to the next bit. All of the believers, not just some, but all the believers were together. They is there again. And on the final one, they, which has been there throughout, and their number. A church is formed of people. We often say, but a church is not a building, it's a bunch. That's true. The church is formed of living stones. But to say living doesn't just mean human. It means we are actively living. We are actively involved. You see, it's easy to think of the early church as being Peter. After all, he stood up and spoke on that first Pentecost. Or Paul. Or any of the other apostles. Yes, they were the preachers. They were the ones who spoke out. Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter spoke to thousands in the crowd. But he wasn't the only one to do it. Verse 4 tells us that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit wasn't just given to a few, but given to all the church. Now in the Bible there are many, many characters who are named, but there are many minor characters in the Bible story and in the life of the early church. Some are named, but many are not. When I was talking to the Wednesday afternoon fellowship a few weeks ago, I told the story of a woman in Luke's gospel who anointed Jesus' feet. She isn't named. And a little bit later in the Acts, in fact, probably days after Pentecost, you read of the man at the beautiful gate, the lame man who was healed at the beautiful gate and then went off walking and jumping and praising God. Lovely story, but we don't know his name. Many people in the Bible are not named, but they all played their part. I'm sometimes asked, what makes a Baptist church? Is it that we baptize people? Hence the old slogan on the t-shirt, Baptists are wet all over. Oh, it's all the old jokes today, isn't it? Well, the answer to that is no. Other churches also baptize. But what makes a Baptist church is the way we are governed. Although we belong to something called the Baptist Union, we are a union, not a denomination. And there's no person in central authority in the country telling us what to do. Rather, the authority in the life of a Baptist church comes from us when we meet together for church meeting. We meet together and together we determine the life of a church under the leading of God. It's where every member can contribute and has a part to play. Of course, we're not all the same. But that allows us to contribute different things and different ideas. Think of it like this building for a minute. Every bit of this building is used. I've even used the gallery this morning. But it's used for different things. For example, you would use the kitchen to make a cup of tea. And you'd use the baptistry underneath me to baptize as we did a fortnight ago. Now you wouldn't baptize someone in the kitchen. Although I expect in an emergency you could possibly wash up in the baptistry. But you get the picture. The building's used for different things in different parts. We are all different, but we all have a part to play. Participation is vital in a church. It's not a spectator sport. And there's one thing we can all do. It's this. From surveys as to why people are attracted to a particular church, certain things are revealed as to the reasons why they stay. It might be the style of worship. It might be the type of music. It might be the preaching. It might be the bounciness. The personality of the minister. But what will keep people there, the number one thing that will keep people there is friendship. Friendship. Now, we might pride ourselves on being a friendly church, and in that is a great danger. There's a great danger then that it's someone else's baby. There's a great danger as we grow that we develop cliques. It happened in the early church, for example, in Corinth, where St. Paul had to correct the church in Corinth because they were splitting into the haves and the have-nots. But in the first Jerusalem church, they were together. And the friendship was very evident. So that's the first P. P for participation. For the church to grow, there needs to be participation at all levels and by everyone. Let's move on to the second one. Now, who's that fantastic group of men? Yes, they are the Trumpton Fire Brigade. Now, some of you have happy memories of Trumpton or watching Trumpton with children. They're a fantastic bunch of men. Pew, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert, you see, I knew you'd do it, Cuthbert, Dibble and Grub. And they were led by the magnificent Captain Flack. And they rushed around Trumpton rescuing, well, what did they do? They rushed around Trumpton rescuing cats from trees, as I remember. They helped to clean the town hall windows, and they always finished with a band concert in the park. But what did the Trumpton Fire Brigade never do? They never put out a fire. A church, this is the serious point, a church that doesn't do what it's supposed to do doesn't deserve to survive. The Trumpton Fire Brigade have long been cut out. A church that doesn't do what it's supposed to do doesn't deserve to survive. What it should do is proclaim Christ. And that's my second P, which is P for proclamation. Now, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Peter stood up to preach the gospel. Now, when we think of proclamation, we think of preaching and sermons. But it isn't all that's meant. Jesus preached, but he didn't do it very often. I think in Luke's gospel, he does it 12 times. Think about it, 12 times in a 3-year ministry is not very much. More often, Jesus was filled with compassion, filled with pity. He showed his love in word and deed. The Jerusalem church was carrying on that proclamation by what they did. From the reading, they shared their possessions. They were together. Now, when I was a hospital chaplain, I've sat with many, many people who've told me about their churches. and I've been pleased to hear them. But I can't remember anybody ever telling me that their church had a fantastic preacher. But what they have told me over the years is about examples of love and care that surely speak volumes of the God of love we serve. As Sir Francis of Assisi once put it to his followers, go out into the world and preach the gospel. And if necessary, use words. Actions speak more than the sounds. That's proclamation. My third P is preservation. Preservation. Now, think of the building for a moment. It's coming up to 100 years old. And in that time, we've looked after the building. We've cleaned it, repaired it, we've replaced various things. Somebody's just pointing out we've no longer got the fence. We've got those now nice railings. And if you look very, very closely, that's a picture of the old doors, which have now gone. Right? In short, we have cared for and we have preserved the building. And you must do that sort of thing. Because no building put up 100 years ago could survive without some TLC to preserve it. We as Christians need to preserve our faith. You see why I put that photograph up? Think of the parable of the sower. We should be the seed sown on the good soil. Oh, well, okay, we're not the seed sown on the path, but there is always the danger that we stray into the weed patch and get choked by the thistles, or our roots are not going deep into the rocky ground. We need to preserve our faith. Now look what happened in that first Jerusalem church. They did things to preserve the new converts. And from that verse there, verse 42, I've picked out four things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now their scripture at the time was very limited, but they listened to the apostles. They learned things together. We have Bible reading. We have house groups. We learn from one another and we learn from studying God's word. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. We've already said about that. But I think in the fellowship it also means things like sharing testimony, sharing about what the Lord was doing in their lives, what was going on. Then they devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread, to communion. They were probably doing it daily. But the significance of what it meant was there. So for some of these people had probably been in the crowd shouting for Jesus' execution. It really meant something to them. And the final thing there, you've spotted it already, is prayer. To prayer. We've had a number of prayer meetings in this church in recent weeks, special prayer meetings. And from what Annalisa announced at the start of the service, we've answers to those prayers. Isn't that something to rejoice about? Yes? Prayer is not just prayer is asking, but prayer is also seeing the answers to them. And what an encouragement that is. Excuse me. And my final P is a P for propagation. Propagation. Now, if you're a gardener, you'll know that propagation is about increasing your stock. You know, you divide the root of a plant or you take cuttings. In the Christian context, propagation is about spreading the message. Spreading the message. It tells us in the next few chapters on that they went everywhere sharing the good news. Not just in their meetings, but out and about. And there they were highly regarded by the people. It wasn't just the church as a group, but it was individuals who were spreading the gospel. Now, we've opportunity to do that. We've opportunity to do that in our contacts throughout the week. We've opportunity to do that in the things we do in this building, through the Warm Space Initiative, or through things like the Revive Coffee Shop down the road, in our work, in our leisure, out and about. A church needs to grow. We can never, ever stand still. So to conclude, what's Pentecost all about? It's about the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's about the coming of the Holy Spirit to everyone. Everyone. To all individuals. They were filled, both young and old, with the Spirit. Filled to more than they could contain. And then it burst out into the Jerusalem streets. They were praising God. And it caused thousands to come to faith. And that led to the start of the church. A church that grew as it was in the business of propagation, spreading the good news. A church where there was friendship and sharing and participation. A church where Jesus was proclaimed and the members were active in preserving their faith. I said earlier that this building is coming up to 100 years old. And in that time, Desborough Baptist Church has had its ups and downs. At one stage, membership was down to a faithful few. But they didn't give up. But they prayed and prayed for revival. And we are alive in 2025 as a testimony to those answered prayers. The Lord has blessed us. But let us never become complacent. If we are to be the church of Christ, then this has to be a place where Christ is proclaimed. There's got to be proclamation. And like that first church in Jerusalem, we have to be a body where all are involved as participating members. Participation. So there you have it. Four things to hold on to from the P for Pentecost. Participation, proclamation, preservation, and propagation. We need to make sure that our faith is preserved, that we're firmly rooted in that good soil. And we need to be an evangelical church, a church that is propagating itself. It's going out into the town and into the world to spread the good news. May God bless us on this birthday of the church. Amen. We're going to go on to sing a hymn now. O breath of life comes sweeping through us. And I think we've chosen it. Revive your... We're in the first verse and I can't see it. O breath of life comes sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us and fit your church to meet this hour. Thank you.
So please be seated. So let's bring our prayers to God for the world around us and for folk that we know and love too. Let's pray. Spirit of hope, bring hope to your persecuted church. And as we're asked to, we particularly pray for your people in Burkina Faso. We see how violence has impacted so many believers and how even those who have escaped with their lives now live on the run. Bring them your peace, your strength and healing so that the church there can grow and thrive to serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Spirit of wisdom and truth, bring wisdom to those in power around the world and here in this country, in our government and in local councils. Lord, we think of the people in LA and the troubles there. May they hear your voice and may they lean on you for wisdom. May they speak truth and make the right decisions. Spirit of freedom, we pray for those who have no freedom, who are victims of conflict or trapped by circumstances. Lord, pray that you would raise up people to help them know the freedom that you give through your Holy Spirit. And Spirit of resurrection power, we long to see you reigning in places like Gaza and Ukraine, longing that you would move mightily in those situations, that people would be helped and people would be looked after, and that peace would be able to come. We pray that you would bring down evil regimes and attitudes, that your will would be done in the various places. Spirit of unity, bind us as Christians in love and in common endeavour. Lord, may we allow your life to move in and through this church. Spirit of healing and forgiveness, we lift those we love to you. Those who need a special touch of your love in their lives today. And lastly, Spirit of Christ, we lift ourselves to you and pray for you to fill us and mould us in your likeness as individuals and as a church. Amen. So our final hymn is, O Thou Who Camest From Above, the pure celestial fire to impart. Thank you, Brian. We have a wonderful God who gives to each of us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit that fills us and fills us to overflowing with God. It's how much more will God do? How much more does he love us? And this prayer invites us to ask the Holy Spirit to simply fill us up, and it's fill us up to overflowing. So this is the response line. Oh, no, I think I've got it all on there. I think we can say it all. I hope so. Let's see how we get on. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Give us strength. Give us power. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Make us one, sisters and brothers. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Give us strength to share your truth. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Send us out to live for you. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with you and all those you love, now and forevermore. Amen.